We're going to look at a whole lot of verses here, kind of back to back. I'll read some of them to you, but you can start here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I grew up in a little town, well, not a little town, a bigger, in New Mexico, one of the bigger towns, called Carlsbad. Had about 20,000 people, I think, when I lived there. Was born there in 1957, lived there until 1971. So I spent my elementary years and my junior high school years there before we moved to Texas. And I remember one year at Christmas. Now, we lived in, and it's kind of funny, back then, everybody lived in about a 900 square foot house, and that was plenty big for everybody. You know, maybe 800 or 900, maybe 1,000 was a big house. That was just a big house. Our house had two bedrooms, one bathroom, a laundry room. It had a little tiny, I don't know what you'd call it, kind of a dining room as you came into the front. And then it had a living room with a fireplace, and it had a kitchen about the size of this podium right here. It's a little tiny thing. And we didn't have a lot of money. My dad was a welder at the potash mines, and my stepmother stayed at home and kept the house, and so she didn't work. And so we just didn't have a lot of money, but I never really felt like we were poor. I knew I had to go without things once in a while, and I remember when I was a freshman in high school, I got a paper route. Seventh grade, got a paper route. And delivered newspapers and made $30 a month, and I thought I was rich. And I would take that money and I would buy shoes with it, or I'd buy clothes with it, and I was just so happy to have that paper route. And I'd prayed for it and promised God if he gave it to me, I'd tithe. And by the way, tithe's 10%, amen? You say, well, Pastor, you were only making $30 a month. How much difference does $3 make?
A lot.
A lot. I tell you what, it made a lot of difference in my life. God's always provided for me. And it's not a question of how much you give God. God doesn't need your money. He just desires our obedience. Amen?
Amen.
And when you give God the 10%, then the 90 goes farther than the 100 would have gone. And so anyway, what God got me going on this story was, at Christmas time, I remember, do you remember the Sears catalog? About that thick, the last third of it was toys. I didn't care about the rest. What's the rest of this wasted space? Clothes and tools. What do I care about? I want to see the toy section. 55 pages of toys. Everything you could want. And army men and forts and tanks. So I would go through that thing, and my stepmother would tell me, she'd say, okay, now, you can have, and she'd give me a number, $40. You can spend $40. Circle what you want. And I'd get my ballpoint pen out, and I'd circle, and I'd figure, and that's number one, it's number two. And so those were things I wanted for Christmas. Christmas morning would come, and inevitably, number one, number two, number three would be under the tree, right? And we never did the Santa Claus thing, praise the Lord. But we had a good time with Christmas. And so one year, I got out on Christmas morning, and number one wasn't under the tree. And neither was number two. And I started opening my gifts, and I thought, what's the deal here? The procedure has been broken. What's going on? And I'm surely expecting this. And so we finished opening everything, and it was nice. I got some gifts, and I was happy, and I gave them some gifts. And then we got ready to eat breakfast, and they said, oh, yeah, we forgot. And number one was leaning up in a box up against the wall. And I got what I wanted after all. But isn't it true that we should expect God loves giving us gifts? And isn't it true that we should accept what he gives us?
Amen.
And sometimes you will find there may be something in your life that you just think you have to have and God won't give it to you. And you're going to find out when you get to eternity, God knew you couldn't handle that, or it wasn't good for you, or how many times have you gotten something And then you realize, you know, I really didn't want that after all. And God knew that, and he just didn't give you those things. And I'm not talking about material things only. I'm talking about things like jobs, talking about things like houses and things like that, that sometimes God says, you don't need that. But folks, God gives us gifts. And we're just going to spend a few moments on this. And I want to show you the gift of God in several places in the Bible. And I'm going to read you four or five verses here. You can try and keep up with me, but I've got them written down on my paper for the sake of time. First of all, we're in Ephesians chapter 3, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Thank you. That's where we're supposed to be. If you're in Ephesians, you're in the wrong spot. We will be there later. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. There we go. Chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Now, just before we pray, think about this. Just the good things you have in life, they come from God. I may just have to go ahead and read this verse ahead of time here. And we'll wait. I'm not sure I've got it written down in the right place here. But folks, the good things in our life come from God. Amen. And the things that he gives you, you say, well, Pastor, how could a job be a gift? Oh, it could definitely be a gift. Try not having one. Amen. Your health could be a gift. Amen? You ought to think of the things. We did this at Thanksgiving with our children a few years. Asked them to write down some things they were thankful for. And today, every one of us has things to thank God for. You say, well, Pastor, my life's not perfect. Yeah, I know that. But how would it be without God? Amen? Never to say it could be better. No, I think God's got it right where it needs to be. For these young people, they have the parents that God chose for them to have. Praise the Lord for parents. Amen? For our church. You say, well, Pastor, wouldn't it be nice to have 100 more members? I praise the Lord for the members we have. Amen? You say, well, I mean, I've preached on Wednesday nights in backyards in Mexico with one bare light bulb and 15 people, and they were thrilled to death to have a church. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's good. Let me have a word of prayer with us, and let's look at the gift of God tonight. Father, thank you tonight that we understand that you are our Father in heaven, and that just like other fathers, you give us gifts. And Lord, there are things that come from you. You give them to us not just to make us happy, but you give them to us for our benefit. We know that the greatest gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But there are many other gifts that you give us. And Lord, tonight I pray that rather than being disappointed or questioning why we don't have certain things that we think we want, I pray that we'd pause and thank you for the things you've given us. For our friends, for our church, for our Bible, for our salvation, for our health, for our families, for our school, for our loved ones, for your provision, for our home in heaven. So many things we have to be thankful for. And just millions of little details in our life that you've overseen. God, help us tonight to just for a moment be a little bit less greedy and have a little more gratitude and thank you for the things you've done for us and to understand some things about the gift of God tonight. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read you some verses here. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to flip over to chapter 5. And just another thought on the gift of God. Verse 19, he says, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to receive in his labor, this is the gift of God. These are material things. We think about those. But let's look at the New Testament because there's a lot said there. John chapter 4. And what do you know? I turned there the first time. John chapter 4. And then we're going to move through Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and just go book by book a little bit and look at about five or six more verses here. This is one of my favorite references to this phrase, and it's in John chapter 4 and verse 10. And I do think this is a good verse to memorize if you want to memorize some Bible verses, and you should, especially if you're young. Memorize Bible verses while you can. Amen? I remember when I could memorize a Bible verse in just a few hours, and if I'd practice it a couple of times a week, I could still remember it today, but I can't quite do that anymore. And so I'm going to work at it harder now. But anyway, John chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus, talking to the woman at the well, answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God," I got to ask you this question. Do you know the gift of God?
Amen.
Do you? Amen?
Amen.
If you're saved, you do.
Amen.
Salvation is a gift. Eternal life's a free gift.
Amen.
Doesn't cost anything to you. It costs the Lord Jesus Christ everything. But salvation is a free gift. It's the gift of God. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ. He says, if you knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, my favorite story. I love this story. We could stay the rest of the night here, but we don't have time. But think about the woman at the well. Think about what Jesus said to her. Now, you remember, she wasn't the holiest of people, was she? In fact, first of all, she's a Samaritan. An unclean situation, if you will, because the Samaritans were considered by the Jews to be a mixed breed. They were considered to be unfaithful to their nationality and to their family because they had gone out into captivity and they had intermarried with other groups, and so the Samaritans were just looked down upon. And you know, some of us maybe in society might be looked down upon, but Jesus doesn't look down upon us. That's interesting, isn't it? I was talking to Leo about that before the service tonight. There are some people that look down on other people because of who they are. Jesus doesn't look down on anybody. He died for everybody. Amen? Well, anyway, so she had a social issue. Not just that, she had a moral issue. This woman was living with a man that she wasn't married to, and she'd been married several times. And I can't tell you the whole story, but the funny thing is, she wanted to argue religion with Jesus. As they say, good luck with that, amen? You know, she said, well, your fathers say that we should worship in this mountain, and our fathers say we should worship in that mountain. And he put that to rest really quick. You need to read the chapter and find out how. But he said this to her. It's a promise, isn't it? He says, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. This is a four-step process here. You got to know the gift, know who he is. And then that you ask of him, and he would give thee living water. You realize that's the gospel? Amen? You're here tonight, and you say, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven or hell. I know I've done some bad things, and the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Tell me this, Andrew, if you sin, do you go to heaven or hell? It depends. The question is not have you sinned. The question is are you saved, right? If you're saved, we've all sinned. The Bible says all have sinned, right? But if you're saved, then you go to heaven. How can that be? Because of this verse. Because Jesus says if you knew who he was and you knew what he was talking about in this living water, ask and he'd give it to you. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you could be saved before you leave. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen, this is very simple. Salvation is not baptism.
That's right.
The baptism is something you do after you are saved. The Bible says be baptized, every one of you. We're supposed to be baptized. But the thief on the cross that talked to Jesus, Jesus said to him, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And he didn't come down off that cross and get baptized, did he? Baptism does not save you. It's something you do after you're saved. The gift of God, let's get back to where we started here. He says, if thou knewest the gift of God, he's certainly talking about eternal life and the forgiveness of sins, and we could elaborate better if we had time. Let's go over to Acts chapter 8. Just keep on going here. There's another gift that you and I might take for granted if we're not careful. It's not just salvation. Acts chapter 8. Have you ever had somebody ask you, how can you be sure you're saved? How can you be sure? Well, what if you miss something? Well, where's the evidence of salvation, someone says? Where's the proof? Well, First of all, you understand that God cannot lie. And so Jesus wrote the Bible, and in Romans chapter 10, he said this, whosoever, that means anybody, here, right? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you ask the Lord to save you, he will. There's a little more to it than that, but that's a good start. Now, once you get saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And in to live in your heart is a good word. It's biblical to say it that way. And by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God the Father are one. And so let's just make it simple. God comes and lives in you. Amen? But particularly the Bible uses the phrase Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know if the Holy Ghost lives inside of me? And the best evidence I can give you would be two things. Number one would be this. If there is no Holy Ghost, sin is something that doesn't bother you. You just kind of sin and you think, oh, whatever. You may have some conscience if you did something really bad like rob a bank or kill somebody. But all in all, people that are lost, they can sin and they can not be too affected by it. You and I as Christians, when we sin, we're affected by it, aren't we? That's the Holy Ghost. The very fact that sin bothers you, the very fact that when you sin it grieves you and you want to stop, that's the Holy Ghost. And the fact is, when you get saved, all of a sudden, the Bible means something to you.
Amen. Amen to that.
So I've got a library at my house and I use it from time to time. I've got, I don't know, a dozen books I use kind of frequently, but I had a couple of books up here at church that I use a lot. One of them is Hallie's Bible Handbook, and I keep it. It's just a real quick way to get somebody else's take on a chapter in the Bible or a book of the Bible. So last night, we were sitting in my office getting ready for visitation, and a certain young man who shall remain nameless says, "What's this?" and holds up Hallie's Bible Handbook. And I said, "That's Hallie's Bible Handbook. It tells you about the Bible." He said, "Can I borrow it and read it?" Amen. Yeah. You know what? I know he'll bring it back because he's a responsible young man, aren't you? But you know what? I can buy another Hallie's Bible Handbook if I had to. Don't lose my book. But I would like to see more young men that want to learn about the Bible. Amen?
Yes.
Isn't that great?
Right.
I met a guy at Sonic last night. We were buying milkshakes, and he didn't want to hear about the Bible. No Holy Spirit there. The table right next to him we were sitting at was a bunch of young men that want to know more Bible. That's a gift.
Amen.
I can prove it to you. Look in Acts chapter 8. The Bible says in verse 20. Now, again, there's a whole story around this, and we're just picking out the principle. this man named Simon thinks he can buy the Holy Ghost with money. He says, if I gave you some money, then don't you think that I could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? In verse 19. In verse 20, Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee." Now listen, this is good. "Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." You know, a sure way to offend somebody is to try to pay for a gift. If somebody gives you a gift and they're giving it out of the kindness of their heart because they care about you, they want to be a blessing to you, if you pay them for it, that just takes all that away, doesn't it? Folks, God gave us the Holy Ghost as a gift. Amen? God gave us the Holy Ghost as a gift, and it's something that's free. It's proof of our salvation, and it's one of the best gifts you ever got. That's a whole lot better gift than money. It's a whole lot better gift than a new car, a new house, or a new job maybe even. That's a whole lot better. And God gave us that. God's good. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to keep going that way, so just keep flipping to the right. Now, you've already heard me quote this, so this is going to be just simple, but we need to read it anyway. There's a whole lot to be said in Romans chapter 6 about the consequences of salvation. He says in verse 18 that we're made free from sin. We became servants servants of righteousness. We were the servants of sin in verse 20. Back then we were free from righteousness. And all this is part of that coming of the Holy Ghost into our life. But then he says in verse 23, I think you've all memorized this. Probably many of you have. Brother Mendez, make sure the young people memorize the Romans road. The verses, Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 10:9, 10:13. Make sure they memorize those. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Wow. The gift of God is eternal life. You can't work for salvation. It's a gift.
Amen.
You can't demand salvation. God offers it to you. He didn't have to. Amen? You know, that day, I wonder how old I was. I was probably about 10 when I got those Christmas presents that year. And I remember looking up, and I don't know why. The box probably wasn't 3 feet long, but it looked like it was about 8 feet long. And I looked over at that box, and I saw the writing on the side. And by the way, what it was one of those vibrating football tables. Remember those things? I don't know why I wanted one, but I did. And I got one. Why did my parents spend the money on that piece of junk that really I didn't need? Because they wanted to make me happy. And they knew it wasn't going to hurt anything, and I did have a good time with it. But they gave me that gift because they loved me, amen? They didn't have to. They knew some things about me, and they wanted to make me happy. Folks, eternal life is a gift. God didn't have to give it to us. He gave it to us because he loves us. And think of the price that was paid for that eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're almost done. Just a couple more. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Okay. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to put you to work. There are some other gifts that God gave us. After we were saved, God gave us some gifts. And I don't know if after we were saved is the best way to say that, but I will say this. Different people have different gifts.
Amen.
Say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about gifts that you can use to serve God.
Amen.
Now, there's some things all of us have. All of us, for example, as far as I know, everybody here is able to get around. Some of us better than others. But you know what's interesting to me? Some of the people that do the most evangelism in our church are the ones that get around the worst. If you got two legs that work good, use them to go door to door, amen?
Amen.
If you got a mouth that can talk, talk to folks. If you got a mind that can think, then look for ways to reach people with the gospel. But there are different people that have different gifts. For example, not just anybody can teach children Sunday school. But some people can. Not just anybody can lead singing. If you need proof, just ask me to lead singing. But some people can. Not just anybody can play a piano. Not just anybody can do a lot of things. Not just anybody can work with teenagers. What gifts has God given you that you can use for him?
That's good, Pastor.
Now let me read you the verse. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 7, he said, "I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God. One after this manner, another after that." And what he's talking about there is he's running around unmarried as a missionary. We believe he had a wife. We don't know all the details, but the rumor is that to be in the Sanhedrin, you had to have a wife. And so we're not sure what happened to her, but we do know that Paul did not travel with a wife. He says to the Corinthians he had the authority to if he wanted to, but he was able to do some things other men couldn't do. You might ask yourself, what did God enable you to do that you could use to serve him? Amen?
Amen?
And then use it. I'm going to confess something to you. You probably figured this out by now. I'm not the world's best at delegating things. I look at something that needs to be done and I say to myself, it would be easier for me to do that than to get somebody else to do it. And I wind up overcommitted. But if you're able to do some things, try to find ways to use what you can do it for God. Amen?
Amen.
Whatever that might be. I don't even want to go into the details. We haven't got the time, but I'll just say this. that there are lots of opportunities in our church to do things. And if you have an opportunity to serve God with the gifts you have, you should use them for him. All right, got to go fast. Ephesians, I told you we'd get there. Ephesians chapter 2. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. We're just going to look at one more after this. You ought to know this verse by heart too. How many of you can say this with me? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, everybody wants to know, what does that word "it" refer to? What is the, it says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Someone says faith is the gift of God. If that were true, if it was just faith, then some people couldn't get saved because you have to have faith to be saved, right? Yeah. No, anybody can call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall call. The question is, really, the salvation is the gift of God. Amen? Yeah. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It, the salvation, is the gift of God, not of works. Amen? Yeah. Don't ever forget that. When you're in heaven, you know, 1,000 years from today, let's all meet at my house in heaven. Amen? Amen? When you're in heaven, walking on the streets of gold with the Lord Jesus Christ, no sickness, no sadness, no pain, no broken body parts, no unsaved loved ones to pray for, because that's all come and gone. And I don't understand how heaven's going to work, but I know this, it's going to be great. Amen. That's a gift of God, to even be allowed to be there. At the very same moment we're there, people are going to be burning in the fires of hell who could have received Christ. And hell is a real place. Jesus preached about hell more than he preached about heaven. One more, 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's really kind of a repeat of Romans 6, so we'll go fast here. Let's see. 2 Timothy chapter 1. There have been, in the Bible and after that, certain people, and in the truth I should use the word men, that have been ordained to the ministry. The word ordained is a word that simply means that they are assigned or called to that position. They're called by God, and they're recognized by men. It would be a blessing if in our church someday we could ordain somebody. First, you got to have somebody that's called, right? Then you got to train them. And then you ordain them and you send them out. I've had the privilege of doing that, what, three or four times. One, I can think of three real quick. And then I was ordained, and I've seen some other people ordained. Wouldn't it be great if one of these young men here got ordained one day? Amen. You say, who ordains people? Churches, amen. Not colleges. Amen? Churches ordain them. And so Timothy had been called to be the man of God. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul talks about that. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, Timothy, he's talking to Timothy, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. I'm going to keep reading here. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. A lot of good stuff there. I see that word power a couple of times. But back in verse 6, Timothy had been recognized by the putting on of Paul's hands. There was a reception somehow of the Holy Spirit involved in that. But what it came down to was he was empowered to be in the ministry God called him to. Now, not all of us are full-time Christian servants, wrong word, workers, in the sense that we're full-time Christian school teachers or full-time pastors or whatever. But we are all full-time Christian servants. Amen. And God's got a ministry for all of us. Amen. And thank you, as I look out, I see many people here, and you've got two or three ministries. And those ministries are a gift from God.
Amen.
And the reason that you have that is because God trusted you with it. You say, well, Pastor, it just seems like a lot of work. Yeah, it's a lot of work. But you know what? It's also a lot of reward.
Amen.
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 We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man shall receive the things done in this body. What are you doing for God? We're trying to train these young men, like last night, to go out and spread the gospel, to witness to people, not just to put something on somebody's door, but to talk to them. And one of these days, when we're in eternity, it's going to be their job to carry on if the Lord hadn't come back by then.
That's right.
And it is a gift to be able to be in the ministry and to work with people like that.
Amen.
And we ought to look at it that way, because a lot of the time what happens is, and I'm just going to be honest with you, if you're not careful, your ministry can seem like more of a burden than a blessing. There are burdens in the ministry, aren't there?
Sure.
But there are blessings as well. Brother Mendez and I like to talk about, for him, not so good old, they're recent days, but in my case, the good old days when we used to go out and we used to work and get a job done and know the satisfaction of having accomplished something great, something that most people couldn't accomplish, and having it work, and it feels good. Can you imagine how it's going to feel when you step into eternity and you've done that for God?
Amen?
Amen? And then my question would be, are you working at it in that way? Are you thinking about it in that way? That your life is all about God, and that one day you're going to stand before Him, and the question is going to be, how'd you do? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or I won't tell you the other part, you know, about the wicked and slothful one. It's a gift to be able to serve God.
Amen?
Amen? And let's keep on doing it until He comes back. Let's all stand and pray.